This is the Accounting Influencers Podcast with Rob Brown and Martin Bissett.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to our special guest interview today with Mike Dean. Good day, Mike.
Hi, Rob. Good to be here.
Mike, we are talking about R&D, the tax market, how accountants fit into that. Very briefly, in 60 seconds, just tell us how you got to where you are today.
Blimey, early career, post-MBA, was all in the telecoms market. Nothing at all to do with what I'm doing today. But an involvement with a massive but failed global business about 20 years ago led me down the path of becoming an independent management consultant. And about 5 or 6 years ago, that exposed me to the R&D tax market for the first time through a client of mine. Observed some things going on in the market, and that actually led to me joining up with a couple of co-founders who've been active in that market for years to address some of the structural issues that we saw going on in that sector.
So let's start with this phrase, R&D. Is it just a UK phrase, or would people all over the world recognise that?
No, the UK R&D tax scheme is kind of replicated, I suppose, is the best way of describing it.
So R&D is what, for those people that don't know?
So research and development. So what we're talking about here is a government incentive that essentially revolves around tax rebates for companies who are doing research and development intensive work. So it's an incentive for companies to do more research and development. There's a similar scheme to the one here in the UK in around 17 countries around the world, which you can imagine are all the most kind of developed nations. And although they're all slightly different, legislation's different in those countries, of course, the fundamental sort of objectives of the scheme in all those countries is the same thing. It's all about trying to make the economy more competitive through investment in R&D and incentivizing that through government incentives.
So what kind of things would come under research and development for a company?
That's a great question, because everybody's expectation when they hear the term are that you're talking about laboratories with people in white coats.
Right.
The thing that the R&D tax sector is always trying to deal with is educating people. So that's actually not really what it means. It's all about essentially encouraging innovation, and innovation can lie in lots of places outside of labs with people in white coats. So it's not sector specific. Although you can imagine that there are sectors that lend themselves perhaps more towards R&D than others. You're not going to be finding much R&D in retail or things like farming, for example, whereas you're much more likely to find it in, for instance, software development, pharmaceuticals, engineering, technology, those sorts of sectors.
And for R&D and innovation, you read competitive advantage, differentiation, entries into new markets.
Yes. There are sort of several key component parts, if you like, to understanding eligibility. And if I just touch on a couple of the really basic ones, the first one is that the company and the projects within it need to be looking for a technological advance in their particular field. And this is always a bit challenging for people to understand what does that mean. Now, sitting alongside that is also the concept of a competent professional. So in other words, the business that's if you like, purporting to be doing R&D, needs to have people in it who are people with specific qualifications and expertise in the field that they're working in. That qualifies them as a competent professional. If you've got competent professionals, you kind of first step down the line of justifying R&D. Technological advance can only be achieved by a competent professional. So that's just then about stretching the boundaries of science and technology in your particular field and working with the right people in your organization. So there's sort of several building blocks to establish an eligibility for a claim, but they're based on those initial tenets, if you like.
So how did the government get involved in this? Shouldn't companies be investing in research and development as a matter of course?
Yes, but I guess there's, several layers to this. So if you're a large global blue chip business, then you are going to be investing in these sorts of things to maintain your competitive advantage. But if you're a small SME business who perhaps is, it's not quite so obvious where to invest your cash, then by the government putting incentives in place, that's encouraging businesses to think about these things. And that in the end is going to make the economy in a much more broader sense get competitive on the global scale. So it's about getting more businesses becoming more innovative rather than just having, you know, if you like, the few at the top piling billions into it.
And when we say SME, we're just clarifying 10 for our international listeners, small, medium enterprises.
Small, medium enterprise, yes. Yeah. So if we're talking in the US, we might be talking SMB. The UK government scheme has essentially two strands to it. One is the SME scheme, so it's to support those smaller businesses. The other one is the RDEC scheme, RDEC, that's Research and Development Expenditure Credit. That is for larger businesses, so businesses with over 500 employees. There's a bit of a grey area between the two, because you can put a claim together as an SME with some of that spend going through the RDEC scheme. So there's, as in all of these countries, there'll be complexity around the scheme, but there's that sort of key point there is it's there to support businesses at both ends of that scale.
And how do accountants get involved in this? Obviously, when you mention tax, that's part of their remit, but they don't always deliver this, and they might come to Whisper Claims or other consultancies like you to get involved.
A couple of things to mention there. Inevitably, an R&D tax claim involves either revisiting a previous corporation tax return and amending it, or it's an input into the current year submission. Now, obviously, in both of those cases, that involves an accountant. It's highly likely that an accountant is going to be making that submission of the CT 600 in UK term corporation tax return to the tax authorities. So pretty much every R&D claim that's submitted will have gone through an accountant's hands. But in terms of who's put the claim together and who's supported the client to put it together, that could be a whole raft of people. So you've got big consultancies, specialist consultancies in R&D. Underneath them is a whole army of smaller specialist consultants, even one-man bands. Then you've got larger accountancy practices who might have specialist teams who do this kind of work. And then as you kind of come down the stack and you get to smaller firms, let's say sub 100 employees, they may have somebody in the business who's a specialist, who's perhaps had some training in this. Certainly, if you get below a firm with, say, 50 employees, that is very unlikely. So at that end of the market, they're highly likely to have either outsourced to one of those bigger providers that I just mentioned, or actually, which is often the case, they just ignore it altogether. So they end up getting involved when their client comes along and says, I've had this claim done by a third party. Can you submit the amended corporation tax return for me? Now, that's problematic, and a lot of accountants at that smaller level, if you like, are now starting to resist doing that work for their clients because they'll sit there and say, well, hang on a minute, I've had no involvement in this claim. It's actually going through on my PI insurance, effectively, if I amend the CT return, I'm not going to do it.
But is it pretty much the same all over the world? Because presumably research and development is research and development in any country.
Yes, it is. And in fact, to take the States as an example, we've been approached by actually quite large firms who were looking for a software solution for essentially improving their capacity and throughput of their R&D operations. So we're looking for a software solution. They found us sitting here in the UK. So we've got a bit of an insight from them into the structure of the US market. It's almost exactly the same as here. The difference is just to do with scale. So the size of the claims is generally higher. The number of claims is generally higher. But actually, the market structure is pretty much exactly the same.
So who would come to a consultancy? Would it be the accountant themselves that might say, look, we've got a complex claim here, we don't have the expertise in-house to deal with it? Or would it be the business owner, the business client?
Both. So when I said earlier that a lot of those smaller accountancy firms are ignoring the opportunity, what that means is they're leaving their clients to go and make their own way, which generally means that those clients will be working with a specialist consultant. Our position in the market is really to give the right tools and support to those accountancy firms to enable them to do it themselves and keep hold of that opportunity so that they're able to service their clients.
Because presumably it's lucrative for accounting firms to help the clients in this way.
It is, yeah. And actually, that's a good point. Generally, the R&D tax world is dominated by consultancies who are charging contingent fees. So they're charging a percentage of the tax benefit that's realised by the process.
Okay, so the bigger that is, the more they make.
Yes, exactly. Now, of course, what that also means is that price hasn't necessarily got a relationship to the amount of effort and real value add that's gone into the process.
Got it, yeah.
So over the years, I guess the kind of end user community, the companies who are making claims or doing the R&D, have started to realise that. So there's been a lot of competitive pressure in the market over the years from a price perspective. So that means that the consultancy service providers who have, you know, perhaps large teams of scientists, engineers working on these claims, they've got a very high cost base. So they've started to stop dealing with smaller claims. They can't afford to do the smaller claims. So then again, the small claims start to get underserviced. The use of technology and the area that we're focused on means that accountants can take on this kind of work without building specialist teams, without having specialist knowledge, because the tech is going to take care of that for them, which then means that you're taking away that necessity for a contingent-based pricing model. So we're seeing a shift, not just from our users, but actually as this market gets more commoditized in general, to quite low fixed fees compared to the contingent-based fees that have been the norm in this market. And so accountants are now, because of the use of technology, are able to take advantage of that. They can be competitive, they can get claims through quickly and easily. And the biggest benefit is they're bringing that value to their clients and sharing in the benefit of leveraging all of that.
Yeah, and you mentioned the word commoditize. We know that there's been evaporation of compliance fees for accountants, so they're looking at alternative sources of revenue. So research and development and these tax schemes would come under that umbrella of advisory services, right?
Absolutely right, yeah. You know, that's something that's been stretching us over the last year or two as this shift to advisory gets talked about more and more. We're just about to publish a new ebook that's on exactly this topic, the shift from compliance to advisory. The thing that's been taxing us around this, but excuse the pun, we've got a service, or we've got an app that in its own right allows the accountant to generate revenue. And when you think about what's the biggest kind of chunk of activity that's going on in advisory right now, that's more about reporting and data analysis than service delivery. So when we talk to people about the shift to advisory, we find that actually the language is getting a bit mixed up. We mean actually delivering an advisory service. Mm-hmm. Whereas most people who are talking about it are actually talking about data analysis. And it's quite a different thing. Yeah. So actually trying to educate people about our position in that kind of advisory landscape is a challenge at the moment, to get them to understand our position in all of that.
And you'll have seen what's happening in the software vendor market, in that they're trying to marginalize accountants, and even with strong messages to business owners, like, you don't need your accountant, but you work very squarely with the accountant, don't you, rather than going direct to the client?
Yes, so we don't sell to end users at all. We don't see ourselves as consultants. So our whole business model revolves around providing service to accountants, and that's in the form of our app and the service wrap that goes around that. So we've got a raft of support that helps the accountant build confidence in them going out to deliver the service. So we don't kind of pretend to be outsourcers and sitting behind the accountant. We're very much all about putting our tools into their hands so that they can go out and deliver the service.
And presumably this makes them a lot more competitive, right?
Absolutely, yeah. So back to this advisory shift, it's giving them an extra service line. So it's giving them something else to engage their clients with. The R&D tax process is quite deep in a sense. So the discussion that you're likely to have with your client once you've exposed the fact that they've got a likely R&D claim is perhaps deeper than it would be with any other service. So that means it's leading to you building a much closer relationship, but ultimately you'll be able to leverage other services into there and an additional value.
I'm thinking of an extra angle here, Mike, as well. There's a big war for talent currently, and accounting firms particularly are looking for the people that will drive growth. And if they don't have the expertise in-house to manage a service line like this, then they're going to need to turn to somebody like Whisper Claims to help them get on board.
Yeah, that's right. To put a bit of context on this, without technology, put that on one side for a second.
Yeah.
You're sitting there as an accountant running a small practice, and you say, right, next week I want to deliver R&D tax for the first time. There's 500 pages of HMRC guidance on the scheme. So just sitting there and reading through it all is going to take you some time.
That's Her Majesty's Revenue and Customs. Other tax authorities are available in other countries.
That's right. Yeah. But again, the schemes are very similar across all the countries. So there'll be a
And they're convoluted, Mike, aren't they?
They are. So the challenge for all of these smaller firms who haven't already got dedicated resource on this is, you know, how do you plug that gap? How are you going to build it? And that's why they then either leave it alone and let the client do their own thing, or outsource to somebody else. And then, of course, they're out of touch with that service. They're out of touch with that dialogue with their client. So the use of technology, and of course our technology, is to overcome that and give them a tool that means that they don't need to have familiarity with all of that legislation and guidance.
So when you say give them a tool, how does the system actually work briefly, Mike?
Okay, so it's a cloud-based app. It's based on a very structured question set. So you work through the questions with your client. The answer that you give to any given question determines what question you get asked next,
right.
A bit like a decision tree. And as you work through it, if you've got a very simple claim that doesn't go down any of the complex avenues of the legislation, you're going to whip through it really quickly. But at any point, you might end up down one of these sort of dark alleys of the scheme. We've broken it down into very simple questions so that you almost don't even realize that the complexity of the scheme is being dealt with in the background. Once you've worked through the question set, usually sat with the clients, it's a simple button press, and the system writes a comprehensive report for you that's ready for submission to the tax authorities. So that process end to end, from kind of first login to downloading a report at the end, based on our data, it's taken about an hour for most of our clients to do most claims. Inevitably, there are more complex ones that occasionally take longer, but it's about an hour. Previously, that process would have been taking you days or even months. It's that transformative. And of course, you know, the key thing is you're not having to worry about having dedicated resource that's trained up on all that legislation.
Definitely. And in terms of the commercials, it's a lot simpler for accountants to engage you and pay you and amounts of money, hopefully.
Yeah. So we're really, the market generally has been based on contingent pricing. That's not our model. So we charge two things. We charge a monthly subscription to give access to the platform. That allows up to 10 different users onto the platform on the one license. And then we charge a download fee for each report. So you pay for the report as you download it. And that's, I won't bore you with the detail behind it, but it's capped at £600. So the most anyone pays for a report is £600.
Yeah.
And to give you sort of an extreme example, the biggest claim to go through the platform so far was £7 million worth of eligible spend. So the consultant doing that claim would have generated a lot in terms of their fees. And wow. I would have thought tens of thousands of pounds. And that went through at a £600 claim on our platform.
Goodness. And you've got international plans, haven't you? I know you're mostly UK, Mike, but you started to take accounting practices from other countries.
Yes, that's right. We've got international customers, so US-based accountancy firms with a UK offshoot who are working with us. And we've had inquiries, as I say, direct from the US looking for a US variant, if you like, of a product. We've also got Germany in our sights. Both of those things are for future. Right now, we're focusing on satisfying this UK requirement whilst working on some system architecture changes that would enable us to shift into those overseas markets quite quickly once we've passed those technical hurdles.
Well, you call whisper claims, but it sounds like you're shouting it from the rooftops here, Mike.
Well, there is a story there that the whisper claims name came from the fact that I should have mentioned earlier, it's a white label product. So we don't, you know, when our customers are using the product in front of their client, the client is seeing their name and not ours. And that was the reason for the whisper claim name in the first place.
Yeah. Mike, if accountants listening want to have a conversation with you and start perhaps a partnership with you, what's a good way for them to reach you?
First thing is the website has got some really comprehensive information on there. We've got how-to guides, industry insight, several ebooks, all of which are really informative for anyone who's looking to go down this journey. So start with the website, that's whisperclaims.co.uk. Within the website, the biggest call to action that you'll see plastered all over it is book a demo. So if anybody wants to actually see a demo of the product, use that button, get through to us. We can turn that around really quickly. One of the team will run a demo for you within a day or two of us hearing from you. And then the last thing is, if anyone just wants to chat about what we're doing and they're interested to hear more, by all means, get in touch with me directly. So that's just mike@whisperclaims.co.uk.
Brilliant. Mike, this has been great. A final question. If you got your crystal ball out and looked ahead to the research and development space, what do you feel is coming up over the next few years?
Right now, and this may be true in some other countries too, but certainly here in the UK, the tax authorities, HMRC, are going through a consultation on the scheme. And that's because some of the behaviour that they're seeing out there from some of the consultancies is becoming more and more uncomfortable for HMRC. So I mentioned the contingent-based pricing earlier on. There's a worry from them that has led to behaviour that is pushing the boundaries of the scheme. So if you're incentivised by, you know, a bigger fee on the back of a bigger claim, then you're going to push the boundaries and try and artificially inflate the size of the claim. Mm. So they're looking quite carefully at the market from that point of view. So I can see in the not too distant future there being a shift towards perhaps more regulation. R&D tax is an unregulated market at the moment, and I think regulation is on its way. And actually, that's one of the reasons why we decided right from the outset that we'd focus on the accountants in the market, because you know, we feel that working with accredited professionals is the best way to do this rather than kind of encourage a free-for-all, which is a little bit, you know, what's been going on in the market for the last few years. I know that in Canada, for instance, which is a few years ahead of us with their R&D tax scheme, they went through pretty much the same thing, same sort of consultation at about the same time, and that led to much more control and regulation, perhaps not in name, but certainly in terms of behaviour, became a part of the scheme. So I can see that coming.
And in closing, Mike, what advice would you give to the accountants listening that do see an opportunity with research and development, with tax claims, with adding that extra advisory line to their business clients, if they want to get involved? What would you say to them?
If you to Google R&D tax, you'll find that the market is dominated by a few big name consultancy firms. Before you kind of jump in and outsource work to people like that, take a serious look at how can I build this for myself and how can I maintain relationships with my clients and add value to them directly. And of course, we're a part of that. There's other ways they could go about that too, but we're a part of that. And that's really, I guess, what we're most proud of is enabling accountants to do that, to hang on to those client relationships and really add value to those clients.
Well, Mike Dean at Whisper Clems, that's been great. Thanks so much for your time and your passion today.
No problem. Thanks, Rob. It's been a pleasure.
This is the Accounting Influencers Podcast with Rob Brown and Martin Bissett.